Hi, good evening, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of Hard Truth, here with myself, Alana, David Vance, even, and Alana Mercer. It's been a long day. You've got to forgive me these things. Anyway, hi, Alana. How are you doing?
I'm good and happy to see you.
And you as well, Alana. It's great. It's great to be back. Now then, I know you can be watching. We're streaming this over in Rumble. Tell all our friends in Rumble. So, if you like what we're saying on Rumble, by the way, don't be shy. Let us know what you think. And if you want to support us, you can send us super chats over on Rumble. So you can do that on Rumble. Meanwhile, if you're watching it over in Getter, hello to all my Getter friends. And just let us know, send us your comments, whatever. And we want to have a good, lively discussion. So obviously, that one of the biggest topics, apart from World War III, which Alana and I tackled several weeks ago with our friends, the US and NATO and Ukraine. And unfortunately, everything there is following, Alana, what we talked about, if you remember. It seems NATO wants war. NATO wants to go to war. So
yes, Putin is taking them up on that, although he's being slightly wiser. Since they would give him no concessions, they refused to back down from, offering NATO membership to Ukraine. Ukraine, wow. When I heard about Ukraine growing up, as an East Europe, as a descendant of East European Jews, I always heard they were very active in shipping us Jews to the concentration camps. Rife anti-Semitism and really right-hand to the whole final solution of the Jewish people, certainly. So, yeah, our friends, Ukraine, and that's where we left it, and we called it well.
We did. I think what we'll do, Alana, and for all of the folks watching, we'll do a follow-on on that
exactly.
One because there's been so much. Even though we only talked about it not that long ago, unfortunately, our forecasts were kind of right. But I think things are getting worse. But anyway, talk about things getting worse, Alana. Let's talk about Canada. Oh, Canada. Now, I've got a couple of clips I wanted to play for you just to kick things off because we need to talk about what's been going on up there under the jackboot of our friend Justin Castro. Sorry, Justin Trudeau. I always get those names mixed up. I can't think why I do that. So can we play? I wanted to play you this, Alana. I put this out. I'd say before we play it, it's at the top of my Getter feeds for those who want to go. But I was reminded of a line from George Orwell's 1984. And it's one of those lines that's just so resonant across time and even across many contexts. And if we put it up, and then I showed it, I put it in the context of a clip, one of the numerous clips of the barbarism from the stormtroopers in Ottawa. So I wonder, if we can get that one up. So it's the top of my Twitter feed. It sort of looks, maybe, can we see the actual quote? Because we're not seeing what I want to see. I wanted to see the actual, So if you can see it there, Alana, if you want a picture of the future, imagine a boot stamping on a human face forever. George Orwell, 1984. And then, as I say, now let's look at Ottawa. And you can see maybe the clip there of Jed plays it now. And it's basically, it's one of the truckers being, look at this guy, right in. Look at that. That's what Orwell forecast. There you go. Look at that. In.
For no reason. In fact, this gentleman came on television, Tucker Carlson, the only one to be absolutely magnificent detailing the descent into dictatorship. And he was a Romanian, I believe, and he spoke about Ceausescu, and he came on television and said you could see he had filmed the whole thing with his mobile. He expected to be removed from his truck and handcuffed, and instead this is what they did to a peaceful gentleman who had done no wrong. This was just, they did that because they can.
But the other thing about it is, it's trying to put it in context. So we need to get into this in a sec. But this is the another short video clip, which I saw, which I thought was, well, very, very poignant and telling. I wonder if we can play this clip for everybody as well. And then we'll talk. This is, here he is, the man of the hour, the tyrant of the hour. Let's see if we can get him on sound. Can't hear him. Nope. Not. It's not going to work too well if I can't hear him. So, so unfortunately, we might have to lose that. Would that basically, that was. I wonder, could we have another go at that? Because I would like to be able to get that. This was Justin Trudeau explaining why, you know, he was faced with this horrible threat of all these terrorists, domestic terrorists, driving trucks, who were having family days in the center of Ottawa.
You know what, why don't I just ad lib over what he has been saying daily? This man, I have never in the history of the time I've been watching Western leadership seen any leader, Western leader, boil over with bile for a mostly white working class countrymen. And he would have said, what would he have said? He would have said, calling them racists, misogynists, insurrectionists, yep, Confederate sympathizers, Nazis. This is from a so-called a prime minister. And he, and this is reserved for these idyllically peaceful protesters in Ottawa and elsewhere. And for the unvaccinated, he reserves the same pejoratives: racist, misogynist, anti-science extremists.
Yeah.
And he even ponders whether he should tolerate such people, including me, because I'm Canadian as well. So, yeah, go ahead. But then, to set the tone of what Trudeau, how he speaks about his countrymen.
Well, Alana, so as you say, you had Canadian citizenship, yeah? So, I mean, is this something you would have expected to see unfold in Canada?
Never. It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking, David. Never.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, you and I talked about, if you remember, and folks, Alana and I think we've got a good track record in predicting what's going to happen. We talked about many months ago, one of the strange things that as we look around the world, and we look into what I would see the Commonwealth Anglosphere, you know, Australia, New Zealand, we saw tyranny emerging, and it's still there. But we didn't really talk about Canada in the same way. But what I now see, Alana,
it's possible to conceive of Canada degenerating in such a way. I mean, it's always followed American trends. I mean, when America had a central bank, Canada followed. Unfortunately, when America instituted individual tax, Canada followed. America had an SEC, a Security and Exchange. Canada followed. But the Canadian managerial state was always pussy-like. It was always very mild. I always say that Conrad Black, sir or lord or whatever he is, a Canadian, was jailed by Americans for security for mail fraud or whatever they pinned on him. Canada didn't. So Canada's always been the state has always been much milder. This is unforecast.
Alana, just FYI, see over in Rumble, I think your friends Juvenal and Musil, M-U-S-I-L, they're watching. They all send their regards. So we have a couple of your friends over there. And hello to
Yes, that's Ken. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
one of my best friends and our supporters.
Yeah, and thank you guys for being over there. I mean, Alana and I, we support free speech. Which, by the way, is something Justin Trudeau evidently has a massive problem
Canada's always had a human rights tribunal, which the Constitution is nothing like the American Bill of Rights is supposed to work. So the Human Rights Commission is really a kangaroo court that can take and has taken people like Mark Stein, Ezra Levant to court and can bankrupt you over words you say. Canada does have that legal framework, but Trudeau has definitely come out strongly against free speech. This, as he tells Cuba, condemns Cuba the other day, for jailing protesters.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, the truckers, the Canadian truckers who have risked everything, because their trucks are their life. That's their business. That's everything. The, you know, that convoy, when it got to Ottawa, it obviously was, it created such a great impact. And I think it mobilized public opinion on, or at least for many Canadians, on the truckers. But this is a question for you, Alana. I mean, do you think that most Canadians support the truckers, or is it just a minority?
I think the perversity of democracy being what it is, you can look at the Canadian House of Commons and the vote there. They did have an opportunity to have a no confidence vote, which probably would have brought down the government. But other than the Conservatives and the Bloc Québécois, they all chose to uphold these measures. And let's just be clear about what these measures are. Freezing bank accounts. The police gets a list, a blacklisted of blacklisted protesters, people who were idyllically doing nothing but protesting, civil disobedience, if you will, and then they go and freeze these accounts and arrest these people. This is a la January 6th. This is, we have that in our country, but at least we had a little bit of a, you know, a more robust protest to not to warrant any of the persecution of the January 6th protesters, but still we had something. This was the opposite. Did you see how they left Ottawa, how they left Parliament Hill? It was immaculate. It was immaculate. There were hockey games, singing, draped in the Canadian flag. So no, democracy. They voted 185 to 151 to uphold these measures. You had the specter of female stupidity. Distaff Canada is as dumb as females in America. A woman got up and gave a speech about honk honk being a
Heil Hitler.
Yes.
Yeah, I laughed at that. Yeah. So, yeah, what sort of
if democracy, as they keep touting democracy, which is just a tyranny of the majority, we know that, and not even the majority wins in democracy, because none of the representatives actually carry out the will of the majority, much less the minority. But if democracy is what we are upholding here, then the parliament did indeed speak for the people.
Yeah, so actually, democracy upholds tyranny. Actually,
of course.
I mean, I agree. I mean,
tyranny of the majority and the minority.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I mean, I'm reminded of that old aphorism that, you know, democracy is, what is it, two wolves and a chicken sitting down to discuss who's for dinner or something to that extent. That's what it is. But yeah, the honk honk, I mean, the thing is, poor Trudeau, he was getting crucified on social media because all of us bad people were hashtagging honk honk. And there was those couple of weeks when it was clear. I mean, do you remember, Alana, he fled. He went to a bunker underneath the Rockies or somewhere to hide, cry for a week.
That's why, David, we call him Justine Trudeau.
Very feminine man, so cold man. So he fled. So what? Imagine a political leader who flees his capital with the furious excuse that
let's say the protocol, just like Trump was ferreted to a bunker when January 6th ensued, even though he had no fear and wished to engage with his people. However, let's say that's protocol. At least he could have negotiated or come out, and the truckers would have welcomed him had he come out and said, look, you know, I hear you. Let's talk. But he immediately went to defense. He immediately maligned them in the worst possible way, childishly and stupidly. The man is stupid. Yeah.
He did. So he wouldn't negotiate with them. He wouldn't even chat to them. That was off. The same guy, by the way, Alana, I'm sure you well remember, who took a knee last summer 2021, for BLM. You know, I'm not sure if he was in blackface when he did that, but he took a knee anyway to BLM. So he's happy enough to do that, but he's not happy enough to talk and engage in conversation with the guys who drive the trucks, which are essentially the commercial bloodline of Canada, just like America, just like everywhere. We need truckers.
And David, you know that I've long contended that this is a proxy for a war on whites. But conservatives don't like talking about race, right? So the camera pans and I might see, I've been told, look, I have the greatest fondness for First Nations. You know that. I feel they were wronged. I have no such sympathy for the black cause, which is extremely extractive, politically extractive. But I do feel for, I mean, the Native Americans or First Nations, as they're called in Canada, I had a contingent on Ottawa. We had a new friend of my writing sent us wonderful blogs, and we'll see the images he took. He hopped up from Quebec and reported from there, and he said the atmosphere was just wonderful. There was a hockey game. These were the best of people, and there were those are the pictures, as well as the finger. Where's the finger?
Oh, I'm sure we get the finger. Don't worry about that.
Please.
I mean, this is the most peaceful, most family-friendly demo ever. And here's the thing.
And David, just finish this. The Native Americans were doing their drums and were there as well. But otherwise, this looks like a working class, mostly white cohort.
I think it is mostly that. There were some Sikh lorry drivers that I think we agreed were there.
They are 20% of truck drivers, which is which is a fifth. Their association, I don't know how, if they represent the grassroots of the Sikh truck drivers, but they came out quite strongly to say the truckers are amoral. They should take their jabs, which they have. The truckers have taken their jabs. This is far more than this is about tyranny and it is about the COVID, the absolute violation of the Charter of Rights and Freedoms that are COVID restrictions in Canada. This is about far more than jabs, although it is also about the jabs.
It's also about that,
The Sikhs came out and said that they were, at least their representatives said they were against this demonstration.
That's also a fair comment. I'm just seeing a couple of comments. I just wanted to read them out, Alana, to you. I can see, because we've got Canadians on the stream here as well, and one of them saying, I cannot fly, take a train or a boat within Canada, and I cannot cross a border because I'm on vax. Someone said that. Dr. Hackenbush agrees with you, Alana. He says, fake conservatives don't like talking about race. Another point. Someone else says there's a massive run in the banks, which is very interesting. Bank stocks in Canada are diving. The banks are furious. So, I mean, there's so much happening up there, isn't it? It's like it's an existential war between the people and the privileged, pampered political tyrants, as far as I can see.
Yes, and if I can just... I hope I won't be boring our viewers. If I can just read a little bit of the prose that I wrote at the end of my column, just to set the tone, because it's pretty fierce. Trudeau is a dim dilettante, which is an amateur, not a serious individual. He inherited wealth, but no sense of noblesse oblige, and none of his fabled father's smarts or charisma. Just look at Sonny Boy's mincing stride, sausaged as he is in designer suits. Observe the vain coif, the pasty, rapidly decaying alum Dorian Gray, Oscar Wilde's Dorian Gray, doughy face and hollow gaze, so like his mom, Margaret. Justine was practically conceived and raised on the dance floor of the debauch Studio 54. You remember Studio 54?
I do, unfortunately.
For all his forced, affectatious attempts at gravitas, this central planner, dirigist, is now telling Canada's salt of the earth, the truckers, to turn tail and return to life as his much maligned second-class subjects. a look at Trudeau's demonic deeds and his vacant demeanor, and one is reminded of the words of French novelist Jules Renard. I don't know if God exists, but it would be better for his reputation if he didn't.
Yeah.
Trudeau has inflicted horrifying material destruction and lasting moral damage. We are talking about it.
Yeah.
He has battered the truckers, but he has not bettered them morally. It's time for this dreck, which in Yiddish means garbage, the spawn of Studio 54 to go home for good. Good people want no truck with Trudeau. That sets the tone of how we feel.
Yeah, well, I think, as always, Alana, you sum these things up extremely well. And
yeah,
I mean,
but some of our enemies told me that Douglas Murray can write better than that. Show me.
Exactly. I mean, and I think you speak with the fact that you know Canada, you understand Canada. I think what we're seeing is just reading some of the comments coming. Yeah, I can't repeat some of the comments.
Oh, please.
No, they're all good. They're all good, but. Someone has thought of some other words to describe Trudeau as well. I mean, he's a Republican rocker, one of my regulars says here, Justine exemplifies false pride and arrogance, similar to Louis the 15th. Let them eat cake. But it is a serious matter because, look, Alana, here's the problem I've got with this. We now have Canada, which has fallen lockstep with Australia and New Zealand. You're not allowed to protest, peaceful protest, if you fall into certain categories, particularly these working class white truckers, not allowed. You're not allowed to protest. Well, I'm sorry. It's not a democracy. Maybe that's a good thing, but it's certainly not a democracy. And so my question for you is, here's this. If you can't peacefully protest, what do you do?
You know, there is that these are all the legitimate ways of petitioning your government. It says so in free assembly, free speech, robust civil disobedience. The civil rights movement was very similar, as Jonathan Turley pointed out. Martin Luther King would have been, under the FinTrack financial oppression that Chrystia Freeland has instituted people, against their bank accounts. They can't clothe and feed their families. And listen to I actually shared stupidly a Libertarian Party tweet. I don't know why I did that. I probably felt guilty of the way I treat them. But they called the fact that they froze these accounts, making the truckers unable to feed, clothe, and shelter their families. The Libertarian Party, this is how detached they are, all the things they are fond of. No, the things they need to live. So if people are threatened with their livelihoods if they protest their government. Hmm. What is this?
Oh, well, this is the thing. I mean, the only way out of this I can see for Canada is mass civil disobedience. Because Trudeau could hold them down in Ottawa, but could he hold the truckers down in if they went like Quebec, Ontario, you name it. You're more familiar with the Canadian cities than I don't think he could. If the Canadian truckers can spread what they're doing, that gives him a logistical problem. Of course, there is, the optics look very bad. I mean, when you see, for example, truckers kneeling in prayer, Alana, in Ottawa, and then being tear gassed, that's about, I mean, that's North Korean. That's full China.
Well, you know, conservatives talk about the CCP. Well, that's the Communist Canadian Party. I mean, the acronyms fit. But I don't want to escape too much into communism. This is tyranny, because this is what
conservative.
You and I have discussed this, David. Communism. Critical race theory is communism. Fuck no. Critical race theory is not communism. Marx was not anti-white. This is a movement that is, the impetus is to crush whites. I cannot imagine if this was 80% black, you know, Hindu, Pakistani, if Trudeau would dare do this.
But you mentioned, Alana, the Deputy Prime Minister of Canada. You mentioned her there, Christina
Freeland. I think she's finance minister, and she wants to institute the FinTrack, the financial tracking applied to terrorists permanently.
And I think, am I right in saying her dad off Ukraine? Was there a Ukrainian connection there? I think there was. I think if you
I
check
don't
it,
know, but you know,
I'm telling you, there is. There is.
Okay.
Still waters run so
you're the money deep. Man. You're the money man. You'll know. But
well, you know, so I mean, there's another example. Again, a theme you and I have talked about. Women, some of these women, when they get into office, are incredibly dangerous. And if Justine was to be thrown out, then she would succeed. She would be next in line. And I think she's probably going to be worse because she seems to have no respect for anything at all. She wants to treat everyone who opposes her, especially if they're white working class truckers, as domestic terrorists.
You and I have pointed out that the Continental COVID cartel, the Anglo COVID cartel, is led by females. Look at the TV doctors, the experts. A lot of them are, you know, authoritarian females. We must keep everybody safe, you know. by crook, right? And if you don't want to be kept safe, you are a lack of understanding of liberty. It is very much female infested.
Well, which would explain Justin as well then, wouldn't it? Beta boy Justin.
He's a girl with a Y chromosome.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good summary of him. But so I wonder, so what do you think happens next, Alana, can I ask, for Canada? Because it looks like the truckers in Ottawa have been basically moved away from the central zone. I think they've gone to the exterior, mind you. But I noticed that the Ottawa mayor, I think Jim Watson, he was saying, how about what we now do is we sell their trucks. Did you see that? He wanted to sell their trucks.
That is theft. And let's talk about theft in progress. We saw crimes in progress, theft of private property, whether it was, the Canadian constabulary, the cops, who are also obliged by the Constitution to uphold the right of free speech and protest, seizing, as you say, trucks, damaging them, breaking into them, threatening to seize pets, taking the jerry cans of fuel and firewood in near Arctic temperatures. This was theft in progress. Then you had theft of cyber theft, enjoined by the state, by the courts, when GoFundMe committed a crime in progress. First, they declared that they would be seizing millions of dollars donated towards this cause. So first of all, they threatened theft of private property, and then they're perpetrating fraud by initially promising to act as a fiduciary, as a trustworthy fiduciary, and then violating that. That's a crime in progress. The only people who spoke up was the Florida governor and one or two attorneys general, and that, you know, they stopped the crime in progress and said you could no longer donate, and they would return the money. But at first, they wanted to confiscate it.
Yeah.
And then there was Give, Send, Go, in which a banana court that was Ontario Superior Court enjoined Give, Send, Go to stop the fundraising on behalf of the truckers. And, of course, this was a Christian crowdfunding website, and they gave the finger to the kangaroo court and reminded the banana jurists of their jurisdiction. So we had blatant private corporate theft was the theme, bolstered by the state. So where does this go next? I don't know if this escalates. On the other hand, to be positive, I don't know what our viewers are saying now, but to be on the positive, we saw the system of COVID restrictions begin to crumble just as this was happening. Did you notice?
I did. Yeah, but I don't take comfort from that because my own interpretation is, you know, I know, I think it was six provinces said, oh yeah, don't worry about it. Middle of March, it's all away. We're going to take it all away. I think they were trying to save their necks. That's what I think. I think it was rank political opportunism because if Justin's going to go down, why would they go down with him? So there's that element. I think I blame them all, Alana. I don't think there's good guys in this. Honestly, I don't.
Say there's no good guys and they don't, who cares what their motivation is? But if they do remove all the, because as our viewer was saying, in Canada you can't travel, in Quebec you can't go to Costco, to Canadian Tire, if you are unvaccinated. The whole story, the media stateside, has not told the story of this protest, which is absolute segregation and second class citizenship. So if this falls away, even if there are rank opportunists, this could be a good thing.
Okay, yeah. Well, yes, if that's what happens. But my worry is if Trudeau prevails, if he prevails, you know, Emergency Act, War Act, actually, it's not an Emergency Act, it's a War Act against the working men and women of Canada. That's what it is. It's an act of war. But see, here's my thing. It happened in New Zealand, happened in Australia, happened in Canada. There's been no outcry. I mean, I feel as a Brit, I feel ashamed of the fact that our country hasn't spoken out and condemned Canada. I'd like to see sanctions, not against Russia. I want to see sanctions against Canada. I want Canada.
Exactly. Yeah, and Biden, of course, would not have done that. And I wonder, do you think Trump would have done that? He would have called them out. But you remember then during the Summer of Love, I was extremely disappointed in his response to, actually, his response, whereas Trudeau has centralized the police powers and has assumed them under his dictatorial control, Trump just, you know, left it up to the states. But are natural rights a decentralized affair? If people's businesses, if they are being molested, if they cannot go about their business unmolested, I think there needs to be some centralization of natural rights. Those are negative liberties. So Trump completely forsook us during the he did nothing except protect federal buildings, which strictly is what the law does. So he actually was hands off. You know, if your businesses, if you are being attacked, if your businesses are being decimated by the peaceful protest of Black Lives Matter, that was he didn't intervene. It was up to, unless you move to Florida, your life is forfeit. You know, that was basically the attitude. And is that right? I don't know. It was the
Well,
absolute opposite of here.
you see, I think I'm just reading comments here. Loads of comments scrolling
Oh,
coming in.
go ahead. Yeah.
So I reading them and talking is tricky at the same time. It's like whistling and walking, tricky. I think for me, lots of governments are watching Trudeau because if he prevails, I have no doubt, and I'm talking about the UK as well to my British, they'll do the same. Don't be under any illusions about. I mean, a lot of people are saying here Trudeau is a World Economic Forum puppet, and there's no doubt about it. His deputy prime minister is a board member of the World Economic Forum, so we know that. And so I don't trust these people in any way. I think this is a petri dish, a test to see, well, what can we do? You know, will Canada take this? Will they roll over? Will they go, well, you know, shit happens. Just move on. Will that ha I wonder, will they? And then, Alan, another one. What's going to happen? Because there's a lot of talk about a U.S. convoy from California to D.C. Have you seen that one? What
Yeah,
do you
I
think of
love
that?
that. I mean, that's there's been so much outpouring of affection, and the world owes the Canadians because Canada, peaceful, placid, well-mannered, mild-mannered, they've led this thing. And everywhere in Europe, people have galvanized under often the maple flag, maple leaf flag, giving credit to Canada. So they've left led, And of course, America doesn't quite like that. Our truckers want to show their mettle, and good for them. But what's happening, as you predict, January 6th type fences are going up, barbed wires everywhere in the capital. So, I don't know what to predict. I think you're probably right.
You know, it's going to be really interesting to watch. I mean, I've been to Canada a couple of times, Alana. I love the Canadian people. They're like I've got Canadians watching, many Canadians watching us, so got to be careful how I say this. They struck me as a more polite, reserved version of their U.S. counterparts. Let's put it like that. Very nice people. Actually, a lot of them are of the same historic stock as me, so I have I could really relate to a lot of Canadian people. But here's the thing. After 20, 30 years, have the Canadians become too weak? Have they, or do you think they've got a muscularity or not? What do you think?
Oh, I don't know. I think they've shown us. They've shown us, and I'd love to know what. Nobody's doing the polling. I think if we had some honest Rasmussen type polling, we might get the measure of the people. And I think they've shown us what they're made of. You can push them so far, and the working class has risen. And I don't know what the support is, but it looked pretty hefty, pretty serious.
Well, I'm pleased to say I'm being called out by a Canadian who's making some really good points here.
They led the world with us, so there's your answer. Action speaks louder than anything.
Someone says here, we are not nice, mild-mannered people. We are a very moral, tough people, very tough. I hope so, guys. I hope you're. Don't get me wrong. Everything I've put out for the last year.
You can be both. I found living in Canada far more genteel there's a lot of niceness and of course I love it. I miss Canada. Was even contemplating returning, but you can't now.
No. At this point in time, you couldn't go to Canada. I could not go to Canada. Well, number one, because I'm unvaccinated, I wouldn't be allowed in, I'm sure. It's just fascinating to watch what's unfolding there, Alana. This person says, I am from Alberta and we will end bleeping Canada. So
to put it back to our viewer, Alberta had extreme restrictions. They're among the provinces that are actually dropping them now, but they had these extreme restrictions as well. Why? Florida didn't.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'd like to know that.
Yeah, that they are the most conservative. They always, when I wrote in Canada, they were my best readers. I used to publish in the Calgary Herald. Love Albertans, but I was surprised to see that they did have these restrictions. These vaccine mandates. I guess it's from the central government as well.
Well, we've definitely got Albertans watching us, Alana, because I can see someone says, hey, Joan says, Alberta here too, Hong Kong. So Hong Kong to all those Albertans watching. I mean, as I said, Alana and myself completely support. I mean, I'll be honest. I want to see the truckers prevail. I want to see Trudeau fall. I'd like to see him in prison. I'd like to see him, or at least if nothing else, he should flee to somewhere more to his taste, like Cuba, Venezuela, North Korea. I don't know, but somewhere that welcomes tyranny. But Canada shouldn't welcome tyranny. And my concern is if it does, that will embolden them in other countries as well. So in a way, Canada's fight is our fight.
What I would like to see. I'd like to see a post-COVID Nuremberg type court, denazification, where all these officials that stood firm in their right to tell people what to inject into their bodies, and these were articles that were you know, put into place in international human rights, that you couldn't do that after Nuremberg. I'd like to see all these people in the dock, you know, because the Canadians also are, let me just say this, and Americans, please don't be offended, but your schooling is far down the line than Canada. Canada are more educated, and you saw how articulate the truckers were, how precise was their language when they said what they want. First of all, they want the provinces all to repeal these two-tiered citizenship. They were very clear. These were working people who were very clear on what they wanted. And secondly, they wanted a mechanism put in place to prevent such an occurrence again. They do have the mechanism. That's the Constitution. I think that's the awakening that has to happen, that the Constitution and the Charter of Freedoms and rights is ineffective. The Constitution is, as one WAG said when we invaded Iraq, well, why are we writing a constitution? I think it was Joe Sorbin said, why are we writing a constitution? Let's give them the American Constitution. We don't use it. We do have all the protections, and that didn't help, David. So
a couple of comments for you. Well, somebody says they concur, a modern Nuremberg is essential, accountability is essential. Again, one of our Canadian viewers says, this one's making me laugh, he wants to see a Mohawk Indian court with a scalping speed cut.
this can't go on YouTube.
Excellent stuff. This is the muscularity I want to see from Canada. That's how we take down Trudeau before he takes down. I mean, that whole Trudeau dynasty, Alana, just talking about for a second. I mean, it's been a plague. Going back to his father before. They've been destroying Canada now between the two of them for many, many years, that Trudeau dynasty.
Yes, but I'm told that Trudeau had such support from females, especially in Quebec. The females were predominantly voted for Trudeau. And that's surprising because his father did institute the War Measures Act in 1970 in October against all Quebecers, and there was a serious debate. Even though there was an act of terrorism, there was a serious debate, which we don't have for peaceful protesters, whether that measure was justified. And proceedings later, a sort of tribunal that was convened, condemned Trudeau, and the CBC at the time, the national broadcaster, condemned those actions. And that was after two politicians were kidnapped. One was killed. But so things have changed, and the difference between Trudeau Elder and Junior vast, not least the IQ quotient.
Yeah, but you know, as I say, I'm just embarrassed that countries like the UK haven't called them out. And you know, if NATO want to do something useful, invade Canada, arrest Trudeau, take out his illegitimate regime.
Where is that picture that my reader took of Trudeau's new home?
Let's say as we're chatting, we'll try and bring it up in a second. I have to say in the stream, a comment stream, there's lots of Hong Kongs going on. It's funny actually, though.
Racists.
It's racist. Yeah, as you know, not only racist, but it's a well-known Nazi. Whenever you say Hong Kong, that means you're, what sort of quality of politicians, who elected those people, Alana? There must be a liberal, here we go, Trudeau's new home. Yeah, that's where we want to see him, behind bars. Yeah, good one, good picture. And that's the thing, we've won the meme war, we've won the coverage war, even though the Canadian media has been appalling, Alana. They've been absolutely
absolutely emulating our media, emulating American media. I don't know what your media is like. Are they covering
It's basically an insurrection on Ottawa.
You know, David, I watch BBC International. You don't watch that. And they've been covering it. No words of insurrection or just straightforward coverage. Clearly, their hearts are not in it, but they've been covering it.
Well, yeah, because it's been such an important story. They didn't cover it at all here. And then most of the British media, they don't see it as a big issue, or they don't want it to be seen as a big issue. I happen to think Canada, apart from Ukraine, is probably the biggest issue
Well, that's why our last broadcast was Ukraine, and we dove deep, deep into, we went way back to the 90s and looking at the promises made by NATO to the Russians. We really went deep on that one, and that's why we're doing this broadcast. These are the main stories. These are defining stories. What are you laughing, giggling there? Share with me.
I'm laughing. So this guy in Roughnecks come up with this comment. He says, hell, we went from speed scalping contest to the UK invading Canada and arresting Trudeau. Yeah, that's why Hard Truth's the top pro. This is, you got to watch this one. You got to make sure you buy all the way. All of you guys, make sure you subscribe to this channel. Make sure you subscribe to Lalana's channel as well. Make sure that so you get all our stuff as we put it out. But yeah, I mean, the media essentially looked the other way because if Trudeau was to fall, it would be an existential crisis for them. So they can't let him fall. So that's why I'm worried about this one, you know. But if he prevails,
it also, it threatens if they cover this, if they even just tell the story of the truckers being. Truckers are mostly vaccinated, but they're standing up for so many that are not vaccinated and have become, second-class citizens, literally. So they can't travel, they can't move, they can't shop. At universities, young people are segregated if they're not vaccinated. So if they are to report on this and to report about this honestly without any fear or favor, they are recognizing somewhat that the tyranny, that the COVID orthodoxy that they have upheld.
Well this
the
is
personal, precious scientific data of which is crumbling now has been such an overreach and so unjust.
Well, that's why the truckers were so moderate and modest in what they were demanding. All they were saying was, look, you know, if people want to take vaccinations, it's fine, it's no problem. And if people don't want to take them, that should be fine. And it shouldn't limit our ability to earn a living and put food on the table. That's all they said. That was the fundamental challenge, Alana. And that's what this is all about. Trudeau cannot allow that to stand. His puppet masters don't allow one of that to stand. And that's why if he prevails, you're going to get it in the States. We're going to get it in the UK. Might be 3 months, might be 6 months. But I reckon they'll come back. And they'll say to all of us, well, you know, look, you got it. There's only a small number of you guys haven't taken it. So,
but David, what are the parallels? You say we are going to get that. What are the parallels to the prosecution and persecution of January 6 offenders? Yeah. Already denied due process.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah.
Canada's worse, though, because these people have done nothing. They've done nothing except partake in speech, in protest, in civil disobedience that the Prime Minister objects to. That's all they've done. So this is really stark, much starker than what happened on January 6th, which I guess there is a case that they violated the law. I don't think so, but there is that case.
I mean, I see a comment, which I hadn't seen this before, from one of my regulars, Kim, and he says, sad to hear that an arrested trucker was found hanged in her cell. I haven't heard that.
Let's verify. I hope not.
I'm not sure that's verified or not. Yeah, but you can understand the pressure these truckers must be under because, I mean, they are being treated essentially as terrorists. And that's incredible in our so-called civilized world that's what we that's what we allow. I see comments, the working class, second class citizens. Yeah, there's essentially apartheid. It's vaccine apartheid being upheld by Trudeau, though, isn't it, Alana? So yeah, it's really, really shocking to see.
I don't know if you've seen any footage of some shopkeepers, shop owners. People who barely scrape by with margins that are so slim, being docked, they're coffee for just feeding people. You know, I would feed people if they're out in the cold, even if I didn't agree with them.
And that's something, Alana, a lot of us, maybe especially over here in the UK, like we don't fully understand maybe the intense cold. That I think the temperatures in Ottawa were down into like -20.
Exactly.
Really?
Near Arctic, yes. Yeah.
As you said earlier, Alana, you're right. But that's something that commonly not understood, you know, and then to deny those guys the opportunity to have fuel to heat their vehicles, because a lot of them, I mean, some of them had their family, they had their kids. So Trudeau was prepared to freeze children, which outraged.
25% of the truckers were filled with had children with them, 25% fully. That's why I was so worried when he declared the War Measures Act renamed, because I was worried. I mean, I've been hyperbolic in calling COVID vaccine mandates. Are we going to see Waco type action on government part? But I was worried.
Well, yeah, not breaking news, Alana, breaking news. I've seen this now. Several people have said this. I haven't seen it. You haven't seen it, I don't think. But I'm told that Trudeau is ending the emergency, the War Act, the Emergency Power Act. I am told as we are, CTV News is reporting that Trudeau has cancelled emergency powers as we talk. Yeah, AP News as well. So there you go. So that's breaking. Who says you get this? Listen to us folks live.
You've got wine there, hey?
So there you go.
You've got whiskey there.
Yeah, I'll be having a whiskey after this one. Okay. Yeah, so is that good? Yeah, probably. But he still
needs. Yes, but it's a hog. That's wonderful news. It really is wonderful news. I'm just thinking immediately of these people, their funds being released, being able to I want to hear that the financial are lifted and these people can access the funds and millions that are going into their coffers to support their families. I would have donated, but I was afraid that the money would have, you know, been seized, been stolen. So, we want to support these people, their families. We want to continue doing that. So I want to hear that that's, and I also want, this is a harbinger, as you said, David, of things to come. There has to be accountability, and not only at the ballot box.
Oh, no, completely. I mean, I'm told that Freeland and Trudeau were all together on the announcement. So there's been obviously.
Really?
Apparently.
Because she the other day was saying these would become permanent.
I know. I saw you. Oh, absolutely. And I saw it all. Yeah. So obviously there's something going on just as we are talking. But anything that helps the truckers and, I hope Canadians stay strong, because the convoy idea was a good idea. And I'd like to see it spread across Canada. I want to see it spread across the US, because North America is different to the UK. In the UK and in Europe, most lorries are owned by companies, not individuals. So
this is happening. Someone pointed this out to me when I said, look at the spirit of individualism in Canada, and our truckers are a little bit more subdued. And he made this point you're making, that there's no longer owner-operator, because this is another facet of our anti-populist, corporatist, managerial state takeover, whereby the little guy's no longer a factor in the trucking business, is what you're saying. Yeah. And that's the thing happening in the US.
Well, I mean, I think this is a great example of Canada and the US. If these working class, mostly white people, can come together, get their convoys out there. And you know what? You mentioned it earlier, Alana, just FYI. In the same sense as Ottawa, because I believe there's fencing going up around the Parliament area in Ottawa to keep the...
You have to present papers if you want to go into that cordoned off...
The red district, yeah. Yeah, but apparently the same thing's happening in DC as well. They're putting up... Biden's putting up more fencing. You know, maybe it's a good thing. People are saying there's a general strike coming in Canada. Don't know if that's true or not, but I'm seeing the comments here. I'm seeing people saying we will do whatever we want. There's...
You have to give them props for the model of protest. It was so impressive. After all, they're not burdened by Black Lives Matter for brains, right? So, I mean, the big rigs, they literally halted commerce. Was it on the Ambassador Bridge between Windsor and Detroit? Between Coots, Alberta, and Montana. And then there was between Dakota and there was another bridge, Manitoba, I think, the Emerson Bridge. Yeah, I mean, they did that immediately. So if momentum rises again, they could do indelible damage to the supply chain, etc.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is the point. Truckers are the lifeblood of economy, modern economies. We expect our products to be delivered to our supermarkets, to wherever, to keep the economy going. I'm also being told on the stream that fencing in Ottawa is being reduced. So that's interesting. So there's obviously, as we have come on air to discuss this, Alana.
We're winning.
Yeah, there you go. Yes. We've come on stream and already Trudeau's, he's on the run. I expect very soon to get the cable saying he's relocated to North Korea. He's very happy. Yes. And au revoir to Canada. So there you go. So it's interesting. It's really interesting to watch it. Like you, Alana, it's really sad to see the thuggery. One thing. Yeah, just before we finish, I wanted to ask you just one thing. You see the policing we've seen in Ottawa, the thuggery, the savagery, the brutality. So I've got a difference of opinion with some people on this one, and I'll ask you what you think. See, maybe it's because I'm more negative than I think I am, but I think those are Canadian-trained police people, police officers.
Yes.
With uniforms. But some people said, no, they're UN, the UN's flowing them in, and it's the New World Order policing.
This is hard truth. We don't peddle in. Look, there's place for conspiracy, and it's an admirable strand or thread in Canadian and American thinking. It's important, but unless I have proof, I deduce everything from fact. So no, why do you have to flee the reality that those people are evil? Some of them are afraid for their jobs, but they were doing their job with glee. The police is another thing. They are supposed to uphold the Constitution. So in essence, they are supposed to uphold. We saw that in the Summer of Love of 2020. Most of the police obeyed their local gangsters. Like in Seattle, the police obeyed. The police work for us. They're not supposed to beat us. These are sadists. And let's, hard truth, we come out very in plain language, and we state the fact that they are. We don't have to import evil from the UN.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think, and I heard the same argument in Australia. Whenever the police in Canberra were beating seven bells out of the same sort of people down in Canberra, I heard the whole UN argument. Honestly, folks, it is unfortunately home-trained thuggery. Exactly. That's not to say all police officers are bad. Don't get me wrong, Alana. I'm not saying that.
I have something in my column. The blue doesn't always. Let me just find this quote. Yeah. Alas, the blue does not always defend you. Yep.
And they don't. And
if we're going to fight back, we have to recognize evil. And that's another thing. You know, there's just as the idea of race is hard to speak about, I find that my fellow Christians have a hard time recognizing evil. It's their job and they have to do this and accept. No, you got to call it out. There is evil, and those cops were evil. Simple.
Yep, absolutely.
And evil lives among us.
And we saw the leaked, I'm sure you may have seen on social media, there was the leaked WhatsApp messages they were sending. They were glorifying
They were gloating. They were saying, they'll feel our boots on their neck. They were, and they proudly, the chief guy proudly owned that thread of conversation. No, they were enjoying it. And here at stateside, we saw our police were supposed to defend shoppers who were made to kneel in front of these Black Lives Matter. Yeah. We saw our cops drop to the floor like yogis in front of their Black Lives Matter oppressors instead of standing tall and defending law and order and law-abiding citizens. No, we have to accept these are bastards.
Yeah. And as you say, this is a hard truth. It's not a nice one, but hard truths aren't nice. But I don't think, as you say, we should be looking to try and excuse the fact that there's a real issue. And by the way, it's not just in Canada. It's in the US. It's in the UK. It's across this Anglosphere for reasons that we have sort of talked about, but we maybe need to revisit. So look, Alana, we have come to the end of our allocated time. It's been a marathon session, but it's a marathon topic. And as I say,
for an hour.
I know, and we could talk for another. But clearly, there's been stuff happening as we've been on air. And no doubt when this goes out on replay, folks, you'll get all the details that I don't have and Alana doesn't have in front of us. But it does look like there's been a climb down from Trudeau over the Emergency Act. And we need to see what that means, the financial implications of it. And what does that mean for the fact that these guys want to have the choice whether they're
vaccinated? Yes, and let's ask all the questions. Don't just rejoice with facets of tyranny being removed. Let's make sure that truckers get all the money that is due and owed to them. And that the bank and that this tyrannical, what's it called? The you know, this FinTrack is repealed because it's legislation meant to track terrorist funds, and that all this kind of language, post-January 6th language that is now being applied to truckers, we need to stand on the minutiae of the language. Very important. Mm-hmm. They dare not apply the language of terrorists and racists and misogynists to these good people. So, yeah, let's rejoice if that's all repealed, but let's remain vigilant.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. We need to be sure that, because as always, Alana, the devil is in the detail, and that's so true. So, look, thanks all of you folks. I see all your comments streaming down here.
You don't want to read a few?
Well, people are thanking us. It's about time for Trudeau to get a reckoning. Someone says the UK should send a brigade of bobbies and arrest Trudeau. I think we've got a definite anti-Trudeau thing here. So actually, one of our guys says they will link the money tracking into social credit and conditioning. Yeah, well,
excellent point. Because Ezra Levant, the other thing we do at Hard Truth, we do not appropriate ideas, which is done to us often. Always meticulous about citing. Ezra Levant of Rebel News made an incredibly important observation. He likened what is happening in Canada to the social credit system in China.
Yeah.
Whereby your access to commerce, to funds, your own funds sometimes, is predicated, or to participation in society, is predicated on your behavior and compliance with the party. Very important. So, yeah.
Kudos to Ezra. I mean, Rebel News have done a great job. I think one of their journalists got pepper spray. Yeah, did you see that? Yeah. So I think great job from Ezra and his team. But Alana, thank you for all your contribution tonight.
It's great.
And thanks to everybody on Rumble, on Getter. Thanks, all of you guys.
Thanks to my people.
And just as I say before we go, share this out onto whichever other platforms you're able to do it. We thank you very much. And we will be back with you hopefully next week or if World War III starts before that. Anyway, folks, that's it from Alana and myself. Good night, everybody. Catch you soon. Bye now.